The GAA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power. For exclusive content from their GAA ambassadors and other high-profile contributors, check out news.paddypower.com.
I'm not finished yet. It took me a long time to get here.
Both parents have spoken with each other, and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing asses for f***ing 10 years.
All right, so this is the GAA Hour Congress special, Conan. It's just me and you here. We have Sean Kelly coming up in part two of the show. He spoke up against the Super 8's motion, the Dublin playing two home games in Croke Park motion. So we'll talk to him in part two. It's just, I didn't want to mix this in with the football show because there's too much involved in it anyways. Like, I mean, it's just so disappointing to see the news that this was on, that the motion only received 36%. So, like, I mean, the motion was trying to ensure that Dublin can play two Super 8 games in Croke Park, and it was well beaten. So Donegal's Seamus O'Donnell, he said it was about fairness to all counties. He said, other than Donegal, no county spoke in favour of the motion. So, like, you had some Bing Goodens lined up against it. You had Tony Dempsey from Wexford, you had Francis Flynn of Meath, two Leinster counties who would be well used to playing Dublin and Croke Park. And you had Sean Kelly, who's coming up on the show. Then you had John Costello, who described it as a mean-spirited motion. He also called it divisive. Now, I'd leave John Costello do what he wants to do. His interest is Dublin, Dublin and Dublin continuing their dominance and, like, I mean, continuing their commercial revenue potential and all those things. So I don't blame John Costello for talking absolute nonsense at the thing, because he did talk absolute nonsense. He said nobody cried foul, he said, when the Dublin senior footballers weren't successful as they are now. He also stressed the damaging financial repercussions of turning supporters away. He said it was divisive. But this nobody cried foul when the Dublin footballers weren't successful as they are now, I find that incredible that he'd be able to stand up and say that. Back when Dublin weren't successful, they didn't play all their league games there. This has only become an issue since 2011. Why can't people understand this? And it has coincided with their most successful period in their history. But now they play minimum four league games there. Now three, four, depending, like every other home county. So it's their home ground. They get to play their league games. They get to run out their younger members of the squad in Croke Park. They have the same dressing room. They warm up on the same side. It's their home ground. So this motion is trying to prevent them taking advantage of that home ground. Now, for a Leinster semi-final, Leinster final, it's still the national stadium. Every other team in the country has to suck this up, that Dublin have been given this national stadium as their home ground, and every other county has to go in and play them in their home ground. Right, so you have to suck that up because it's also the national stadium. Now, if it was up to me, they wouldn't be playing their league games in Croke Park. It wouldn't be allowed, can't be allowed, for the integrity and fairness of the competition. But anyways, that's the way it is at the moment. But this one motion was just to say, while we accept playing semi-finals, All-Ireland finals, Leinster finals, Leinster semi-finals in Croke Park, in Dublin's home ground, we don't want them to have two Super 8 games there. That's all. Yeah. That's all every other county's asking, and for that not to receive support is just, it's just so disappointing.
Yeah, and that idea that nobody cried foul, there was no Super 8s back then for anybody to cry about. Like, so the idea, like, you're talking about, you wouldn't want Dublin playing their league games. That's fine, but it's not relevant to this motion. The motion was about the Super 8s, and it's like, why is one team playing two games at home out of three in the Super 8s? It was only about this motion. So all people were asking was, can Dublin play one of their games somewhere else and they can still play in Croke Park as their home game if they want?
Yeah.
You know, so anything, like, you know, when Dublin weren't successful back in the 90s, Sean Kelly talking about, I'd love to go up and play Dublin up in Croke Park. Yeah. It's irrelevant. This, like they will still play at Croke Park in a home game, and then, like everybody else, they'll have a neutral game and they'll have an away game. That's all anybody was asking for.
That's it. See, this is the thing. And Colm O'Rourke alluded to this last night. We have our own Stevie McDonald constantly saying this as well. Well, I love playing Dublin and Croke Park. Good for you. I loved it the first time I did it as well. It was one of the greatest experiences that I've ever. It was a full Croke Park. I still understand when Dublin, we went 4 points up, they scored a goal, our heads went mad, they scored another goal two minutes later, and a 4 point lead in the space of 3 or 4 minutes as the stadium erupted went us into half time, maybe something like 4 or 5 points down. Now I said to myself after that, Are you telling me that I'd like to repeat that experience again? Like, Steve McDonald beat Dublin, Colm O'Rourke beat Dublin and lost to Dublin. In Colm O'Rourke's time, Meade played as many games in Croke Park as Dublin. So there was no advantage for Dublin there outside of having more supporters there, which you have to take the hit on that. Like, I mean, Dublin is the capital and nobody complains about that. But you have this kind of thing. And Sean Kelly and these, and they always allude to, well, the players love playing in Croke Park. They love it. They don't. That's old. That doesn't happen anymore. That's when Dublin played a semi-final Leinster final, and then there was an All-Ireland semi-final and All-Ireland final. They played four games there a year if they won the All-Ireland. Sure, Kerry played twice. Meade would have played four. You know what I mean? Meade would have been there. Kildare, any of them would have had the, it would have been the level playing field. Now Dublin have four league games there, so they have way more advantage there, and now they have two Super 8 games. So this is not about what they thought back years ago. Kevin McStay said, I think most people would agree. Now, you have to remember here, and this is the important thing, and it's in the context, and I'd love if the GPA balloted their members to blow out this old perception that players love playing in Croke Park just because Colm O'Rourke and Stevie would have liked beating Dublin there. Like, I mean, the reality is now, Kevin McStay, and this is a current manager that played Dublin in the Super 8s last year, he said, I think most people would agree it's about fairness. In the last eight, the elite level of the game, a county plays two games in Croke Park, essentially a home venue. No other county in the Super 8s has that possibility. Then Declan Bonner says this. Now, they played also in the Super 8s against Dublin. So these are fellas now, in the current game, since 2011, since Dublin play all their league games there, current managers, not about players years ago that used to be able to take on Dublin and beat them. Declan Bonner said, it's supposed to be a level playing field for the eight teams. I don't think it's level for us when we have to play two matches away from home and the other team, Dublin, has two home games. Again, a current manager. Then you have Kevin Walsh, played Dublin in the All-Ireland semi-final. Now, again, you can't take an All-Ireland semi-final out of Croke Park, but definitely Kevin Walsh could be talking about the four league games and the extra Super 8 game, five extra games they're playing in Croke Park before Galway get to play them there. Right? So Kevin Walsh said, someone mentioned fairness was the word. Do we want finance or do we want fair? You make your mind up on how that went. Do you know what I mean? And then you have the Kildare footballers last year, where all this is peddled out. Oh, every player's dream is into Croke Park. Well, it's not the Kildare footballers, because they took a stand not to play there. Not the other way around. They took a stand because they didn't want to play Mayo there. They didn't want to. So it's not every player's dream. It's Emlyn Mulligan's dream, because he's never played there. The reality is, the Super 8 teams now at the elite level will have played in Croke Park enough times. They'll have played their neutral game there the week before. To try and say that players want to go play Dublin in their home ground in the last game, like, it's laughable.
It's nonsense. Like, you know, six teams have beaten Dublin since Jim Gavin took over. Derry were one of them. Derry beat them at Celtic Park in 2014. I don't think any less of that game because it wasn't a Croke Park. Actually, if it was a Croke Park, Dublin would have spanked them like they did two other occasions.
Yeah.
It was a Celtic Park. You got to play them at home in front of a packed stadium. What that did for the county. Like, this idea. Like, why is it only Dublin? You have to go down to Dublin to play them. Nobody really says that about, I want to be Kerry down in Killarney. You know, it's only Dublin at Croke Park, this made up thing.
Yeah.
Do you know? And then Sean Kelly, if you take Sean Kelly's logic to the extreme, if Kerry got them at home in the Super 8s, could you hold that over him then and say, oh no, no, you want to play them in Croke Park, you want to beat Dublin in Croke Park, do you know? So let's take this home game up to Croke Park, because that'll mean more.
Yeah.
What, like, what?
It's just very it's very disappointing. And then you have, of course, the whole Dublin response to this. And, like, I mean, you call it kind of the Vinnie Murphy response, the parochial, I have a national column in the Star, but I'm just batting for my own, like, it's local newspaper kind of thing. And I had a bite at Darren Cleary, who, in fairness to him, he was been local radio, and now, because the local radio is all joined up and he's off the ball now, whereas, like, I mean, he was just local radio and he was doing stuff for FM 104, 98 FM, and he's tweeting 35,213 in Croke Park for Dublin Mayo. Some would prefer to shutter this stadium for the winter and have Dublin play home games in front of 8,500 at Parnell Park. The GAA should be for the many, not the few. Who benefits from 26,000 being turned away? He asks as a question at the end. Well, I'll tell you who benefits. The team they're fecking playing benefits, buddy. And every team that might play Dublin in the championship benefits from them not playing all their league games there. So what's more important here? Dublin supporters are the players who, without, there would be nothing, and who trained from October the previous year like slaves half the time. And you're telling me some fair weather fans. So, like, there's 35,000 there. Here's the funny thing. So, like, I mean, there could be 70,000 at this last Super 8 game. So you're actually prioritising 35,000 extra Sunshine supporters who aren't at this league game, and there was only 14,000 at the Galway game. So you'd be classing them as more important than players who have given up their lives for the whole year for a shot at a fair game against Dublin. It's just mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yeah, it really, really is. And I think he's sort of, again, he's going at the league argument, which is a whole
The league argument feeds into the Super 8s, though, because it is. It feeds into every game Dublin play there, because they have that, they're being given free experience in the National Stadium. And, you know, their young players are being given that experience. And, like, the first time you play in Croke Park, you're shitting it. Mm. Dublin get over that shitting it in a league match.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And they're always in the same dressing room and they always warm up the same end. It's like me running out to a Moor Park for Laois. Same thing. So, like, I mean, it's just... And then, of course, all... Like, the Dublin, they all have this poor us. You're all against us. You don't want us to win. And it's all bullshit. Because this whole argument... And I saw you getting into arguments with fellas on Twitter the other night, and I clicked on the conversation and I didn't see the replies because I would have had them blocked from previous. So, just from experience. And they do your head in. And, like, I mean, even the pundits and even this Cleary's a journalist. He should know better. And, like, I mean, you turn around and you say, when Mayo and Kildare thing last year was going on, and everybody was on Kildare's side, everybody was, this was an anti-GEA protest. Did Mayo ever make it about themselves and say, oh, well, this is all anti-Mayo? They didn't. Mm. This same thing is an anti-GEA fairness thing again. But Dublin make it all about themselves, about their success, and this is all to stop it. Stop it. It's not. This is about fairness for this competition. It's not about you, Dublin. Because you can clearly see from the GEA, yes, they favour Dublin, but if Laois had your population, they'd favour Laois. And they favoured Mayo over Kildare because they had 40,000 support. They don't love Dublin. They love what money Dublin can bring in. So this is not about Dublin. This is an attack on the GEA for not... running the competition fairly. Dublin is an irrelevance because it could be any other county with a big support.
Yeah, that's it. And actually, if you take Darren Cleary's example, that like, there's a lot of real Dublin fans who are fed up at Croke Park. You know,
yeah, we spoke about that after the Galway game.
Like, and their flags are banned. They have a lot of bad memories in their Croke Park. You know, the stuff like that. The empty stadium that they hate going to, the freezing stadium, no atmosphere. A lot of them want to go to Parnell Park, and as you said, Sunshine supporters as well. Like, you know, so there's a lot of real ones in that number that you're naming. Like, mostly in the Galway game, not the Mayo game.
14,000 at the Galway game. 14,000,
making a nice stadium.
So you're telling me 14,000. And we have to accommodate the people who couldn't have bothered their holes going to that game but want to go to the championship game.
Just in case.
And we have to try and accommodate them over players. You're having a laugh here. You really are. You're having I would say those 14,000 at the Galway game, they should be guaranteed to go to the game and bring it to a Moor Park and nobody else. Like, I mean, that's not fair. That's, everybody has bandwagoners in the summer and they absolutely shouldn't be accommodated. Absolutely not should they be accommodated. Dublin's average attendance across this league will be in and around what a Moor Park or O'Connor Park could hold, and that's what they get for this home game.
And you said it's not... Anti-Dublin's anti-structure. It's like the structure is the problem.
Yes,
like,
anti-structure and anti prioritising money over fairness.
Yeah, and if you think that this is okay, then you're anti-rest of Ireland. You're anti the other 31 counties. Like, you know, if you don't see there's a problem with the, especially the Super 8 thing where they're playing two games out of three, you know, you're saying the league feeds into another one, but this specific motion was about the Super 8s. And if you can't see that there's an imbalance there that can be easily fixed, then you don't give a toss about everybody else when it should just be even.
Yeah, no, listen, it's completely unfair and unbelievably disappointing. So we'll see what Sean Kelly has to say about that, because he definitely described the motion as negative. So we'll talk to him soon. The Newbridge or Nowhere stance. Now, here's another thing, is that this was a congress where the administrators of the association flexed their muscles, right? So they said, we want the finances over fairness for players. So this is GAA often is a battle between administrators and players. In all my playing career, I always felt that administrators thought they were that little bit more important than players, right? So then back in 1998, 99, the GPA was set up. this was to take some of the power back. Because a lot of time was, you get expenses, we don't have them, or we don't have gear for you. Well, geez, you're spoiled. You know, this kind of attitude. So the GPA went in and rattled these administrators' cages. They didn't make their life comfortable. The players got what they deserved. And that was the whole reason for bringing, or for starting up the GPA. It was to take some of that power back and tell these administrators that players are the most important members of this association, because they run the whole, without them, there's nothing. You'll get another fella to come into a county board and run it the very bloody same way as was last year. These are the elite level that fill out stadiums and bring the whole country to a standstill during the summer. So GPA, great, got government grants through by threatening a strike. All this, just a real show of power from the players to go, we've taken the power back from you. This is exactly who should be calling some of these shots. You're administrators. You're not running. You're not telling us what's what on a, you know, playing issues. So now, after this Congress, the delegates clearly voted for financial rewards over what's fair for players. So for me, players should be completely up in arms about this. This should be. Like a red rag to a bull, that these administrators are getting too big for their boots again now. GPA has been silent on this. They haven't even balloted their members. Now, I understand that Paul Flynn is in a difficult position. There's no way any CEO of the GPA should be a current player. Absolutely not. Because he is compromised. And I don't know what he's supposed to do in this scenario other than release a statement and say, I have to take a step back from this one because of my vested interest. Donal O'Cusack, acting president, is going to lead the line on this one. That's, you know what I mean? And that would be fair enough. Let Donal Oge do all the talking on this. Let him ballot the members and say, this is something, Paul, he's still playing with Dublin and it's not right for him to be, you know. Or else Paul Flynn can come up and say, listen, this is clearly unfair. Like, it's not, he's just put into an impossible position. But the GPA still can do something about this, because this is why the GPA was formed. This is the whole reason for the GPA being a unity. Right, so the GPA's motion to get a representation on the CCCC beaten by 90%, right? So there's another kick up the arse to the GPA. So the administrators have all the power back now. So the New Bridge or Nowhere motion, which is basically now the CCCC, if you draw home advantage in the Super 8s, the CCCC can overrule that home advantage based on the grounds of safety. So if this motion was in last year, Kildare would have been forced to play Newbridge and Croke Park. Again, power taken off players. This was players taking a stand. And this wasn't the GPA, by the way. This was the bloody Kildare players who stood their ground and deserve an awful lot of credit. So now that's gone from them. The CPA... 50 delegates walked out of their presentation. No questions from the floor. And John Horan said that they need to send in a more detailed response. So from what I see, this has been one of the greatest wins for GAA administrators, who I don't like in general. Obviously, there's some good ones, but in general, I don't like. I think I'm a player's man, and I think players, the idea that these delegates would decide on stuff that directly impacts players is just ridiculous to me. But this is a very, very serious loss. So the GPA and the CPA have tried to get motions through Congress recently. They've tried to do it the right way, and they've been laughed at. So where do they go from here?
Well, it's a tough one for the GPA, because they're now like part of the GAA, right? So
they try to say they're not.
Yeah, you know, as rather than being this sort of independent union, it's like they're almost at the same level or seen the same way as the CCCC, you know, which
another
is,
branch of the GAA.
You know, and then a lot of those people in there, like, again, plenty of good people in all the departments, I'm sure, but they would probably see themselves as acting in behalf of the players too. You know, that stuck with me a couple of years ago when they were having this go to CPA, and one of the members of the GAA said, like, we're the real players association, the club players association, because they think, whether they are or not, but they think they are acting in the best interest of everybody. So the GPA almost like disable themselves a little bit, I think, with this sort of attachment to the GAA.
Like, well, they're getting money off them. That's the attachment. It's not like they decided it. It was the downturn came in the economy and they needed the money. Their commercial revenue was gone. Like, I mean, your man Donal, I can't think of his surname right now. He was the brains behind it. He left. So they needed it. They needed to go in, and they completely gave up their union rights, as far as I was concerned, by going in and accepting the money that they did. The money that they did off the GEA. So they're gone. So the idea now that the GPA and the CPA, while they got off to maybe a little bit of a rocky start, they need to join forces here. They absolutely do. And I advised the CPA on this before. I said, you've got no power without the GPA. You've no power. That your membership is useless without intercounty membership, because intercounty are the cash cow. The club are not. The club player raises nothing, and if anything, delegates understand it's money. And unless the GPA and the CPA, I think this has come to the point now where something drastic needs to happen with the GPA and the CPA. All right, we'll talk to Sean Kelly next.
I've had fellas follow me, and not just Cork lads, you know what I mean? It happens yeah. and it does happen, but I'll tell you one thing, it's a lonely spot, and the best thing you can do is keep moving. And I thought Connolly looked to be trying to do that the last time.
The camera show, it doesn't look great. Yeah, there was maybe they could say it was theatrical or whatever, but like the reality is that there was contact, and I wasn't trying to win a penalty, I was trying to go out and win the ball.
You know, actually it's funny, your man Conan, what's his name on your programme, like I was wondering, was he at the same match as me? He was kind of making out terrible, but unlucky to lose. Like, let's go. 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100%
reason to remember the name. So former president of the GEA, Sean Kelly, joins us on the line now. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Thank you very much, Colin. Great to be back.
Come here, so you described the motion to ensure Dublin can't play two Super 8 games in Croke Park as negative motion that deserved a negative response. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I was referring specifically to the wording of the motion, obviously not to those who put it forward. I think some people from Donegal might have thought I was referring to them. No, I think the motion itself, I felt, while their intentions were good, the word of the motion was too negative and also too all-embracing. And that was the point I was making, because it said that no team could nominate Croke Park as its own venue. And I think that's not a good way to go about it. Croke Park is our finest asset physically. We're very lucky to have it. It can take 8,500. And I think most people would aspire to play there as often as they possibly could. So it was in that context I was saying that it was framed negatively, not in the context of what Donegal were trying to achieve.
Okay, so would you have agreed with what they were trying to achieve, and this was just some technicality you were disagreeing with?
Well, partly, but I would have looked for a different solution. Having looked at it and heard what they had to say and reflected on it, and I think it would have probably got agreement if they went about it this way. Instead of saying that the Dubs can't name, and they didn't actually mention the Dubs, which was obviously the Dubs that was intended, couldn't name Croke Park as their home venue, that would force the Dubs in to name Croke to Parnell Park as their home venue. And you could have a situation where they could be playing Kerry or Mayo in the first round home venue, and the game would have to be played in Parnell Park in front of 8,000 people, with nobody other than season ticket holders able to go to the game. So that would be also negative from my point of view. It wouldn't be positive. But what they could have done and might do next year, which would make sense, is let teams nominate their home venue, whatever it is. If the Dubs is Croke Park, which it probably would be, play the first game at home, the second game away, and the third game at a neutral venue, or a toss of a coin from venue if they wanted to have home or away arrangement between two counties. That would solve it, to be fair for everybody, and then you wouldn't have any of the curbing teams from nominating Croke Park as a venue.
Okay, so like, I mean, it's not just Dublin, so the only problem with it is it's only Dublin that are nominating Croke Park. It wouldn't really make sense for anybody else, do you know? So I don't know if it,
no,
I don't know
but
if
that is true, but the only thing though, the person from Meath who spoke said that in the event of Park Talton not being available or some other county around Leinster, because they were doing up the pitch, etc., and there'd be a game coming up and they wanted to play it in Croke Park, by the wording of that motion, they would be precluded from doing that as well. So I think it was just the way the word the wording was put in the motion rather than the intent, I think.
All right, but now a situation where it hasn't passed, and it's a completely hypothetical thing that Mead would want to go to Croke Park, obviously with their support, where, you know, O'Moore Park, O'Connor Park, any of these would be more than big enough. This can't go to Congress now for 3 more years again.
Well, I think the Super 8s would be reviewed, and under the context of the Super 8s being reviewed, then obviously the venues would be looked at. And while this motion wouldn't itself go to Congress, there's no reason why a motion that I mentioned couldn't go to Congress on the basis of what I said. And I think you could get around to that way. So it's not dead for 3 years, I wouldn't think,
okay,
because of the fact that it was so all-embracing. A specific motion dealing with the issue per se, I think, could go to Congress, and I'd like to see it actually going to Congress, because that would be fair to everybody.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, people are so, like, players especially, I think players are the ones that should be listened to on this one, and managers that are coming up against it. And, like, I wouldn't see anything wrong with Mayo and Dublin in Parnell Park. Dublin don't have a home ground, and why should they be rewarded by using the National Stadium as their home ground when they don't have a home ground? Like, I mean, they should have to play in Parnell Park and not have a huge support behind them. I don't see why, like, for the integrity of the competition and for what's fair on players, I think that should supersede supporters any day of the week.
I think, again, if you come back to what I suggested, you wouldn't have to do that. But with the mayor motion, if it passed, that's probably what would have happened. But I can tell you that if it happened, the clamour when people couldn't get tickets, and they'd be saying, what sort of an organisation are we, forcing the game to go ahead in Parnell Park? Nobody can go to it. No neutral can go to it. We're trying to grow support, and we have an empty stadium, world-class, 2 miles down the road, and we won't use it. So that's what would happen if you came to that position. I see the point you're making, but I mean, they're the realities of the situation, I think, if they evolved.
Right, okay. Because, like, I mean, it's actually similar enough situation, the Parnell Park versus Croke Park, as, for example, the Newbridge or Nowhere, the Kildare example, where obviously Mayo could have brought 40,000 supporters to Croke Park. Kildare wanted their home advantage, and they dug their heels in, and they won. So, like, I mean, that was a situation that most of the country were behind Kildare. And, like, I mean, you were behind Kildare at that time. You said that Kildare stood up, they took a risk in view of what has happened. They were right to do so. I'm just wondering why it's right for Kildare to do that, but then the Parnell Park one should be off the cards.
No, I think Kildare were quite right, and I was glad that they got the venue. But there is a fundamental difference here. Kildare went into the draw. Was announced that they had a home venue, and their home venue was Newbridge. So they said Newbridge or Nowhere, and they were right. But subsequent to the draw, that the match was arranged for Croke Park on the basis that Newbridge wasn't big enough. But I'm saying in advance, it wouldn't be right, I think, to force Dublin to choose between Parnell Park and Croke Park as a home venue, when our logic would suggest that the Croke Park would be eminently better from a point of view of spectators and the game and profile, etc. So I think there's a slight difference there.
Yeah.
One is when they were Kildare's home venue, they were entitled to it and they got it eventually. This is a different situation. You'd be saying that Dublin couldn't name Croke Park as their home venue, which is slightly different.
Yeah. Are you happy to accept now that Croke Park is Dublin's home venue?
Sure, I suppose it is. Being realistic about it, that's where they play most of their games. It's just because Dublin has to be, or Croke Park has to be located somewhere. It happens to be in Dublin. The Dublin footballers have a great following, so they would play, I think, in the interest of the GAA and supporters, they'll play as many games as possible in Croke Park. But against that, for years, they played their league games in Croke Park or in Parnell Park. They've nearly played all their hurling games in Parnell Park, so it would all depend on the attractiveness of the game. But I think having a motion that says they can't name Croke Park as their home venue for a match, I think that was just a bit too far for me.
So when you say they're in the interest of the GAA and its supporters, when does the interest of the team they're playing come into consideration?
Well, if it's a choice between Parnell Park or Croke Park, I think most counties would prefer to play in Croke Park.
Sorry, I'd have to cut you off there now, because Kevin McStay is on record for saying, now he was Roscommon last year in the Super 8s. He's on record for saying, I think most people would agree that it was about fairness. In the last 8 at the elite level of the game, a county plays 2 games in Croke Park, essentially a home venue. No other county in the Super 8s has that possibility. This is Declan Bonner, who also played Dublin in the Super 8s last year. It's supposed to be a level playing field for the 8 teams. I don't think it's a level playing field for us when we have to play 2 matches away from home and the other team, Dublin, has 2 home games. So then you have Kevin Walsh, who played Dublin in All-Ireland semi-final. He said, someone mentioned fairness was the word. Do we want finance or do we want fair? You make up your own mind on what we want. So, like, I mean, Kildare proved that they'd prefer to play in Newbridge than Croke Park. I think the myth that players want to play Dublin in Croke Park, that might have been the case when Dublin didn't play league games there, and might have been the case with Colm O'Rourke on League Sunday last night when Meath would have played there exactly the same amount of times as Dublin, or Kerry coming up to beat Dublin. That's not the reality from actual players and managers who are playing against them now.
Yeah, I can understand that perfectly. But the point is that the motion that was going forward wouldn't have dealt with that adequately. The point that I made is that they would have a home game, an away game, a neutral game, or a home and away toss. That would actually solve it for Kevin Walsh and Declan Bonner and everyone, and to be fair to everybody. And that is a solution that I would like to see come in next year, because you're right, there is obviously an advantage in just because of location probably and because of their attractiveness, the Dubs having 2 games in Croke Park as opposed to everyone else having one in Killarney or Ballybofey or Salthill. That is true. So we have to look at it, but we have to look at it in a sensible and pragmatic way. And I think the solution I gave you there is the one to follow. And I think that would be fair to everyone.
All right, okay. It's definitely something that's, I don't know, it's just so disappointing, Sean, that because of a technicality, like, for example, you spoke up at Congress and you would have a lot of sway at Congress because you'd be hugely respected as a former president. And, like, I mean, I don't know, like, did you mention any of these other solutions when you spoke at Congress, or did you just talk it down?
No, I did, actually. I mentioned that, for I was concerned, home and away is the best arrangement, and that it should be home and away for the first 2 games and let them toss for the 3rd game, and if they were to meet in the subsequent year, the team that lost out would have home venue again. That would actually give the likes of Galway and Kerry and Donegal and every other county a chance actually of having 2 home games, and if they won the toss in the 3rd game. So I think it's something that should be looked at, because you're absolutely right, we want fairness. We want, at the same time, to allow as many people as possible to go to the games. But you have to look at the overall context. And I think there is a solution there which is practical and fair. And I would hope that might be followed through next year.
OK, just on another thing, why would you have decided to speak at Congress? Because this is something we're a little bit confused about, in that the Congress delegates are mandated by the county board to vote in a certain way, and the clubs are supposed to mandate the county board, and that's, you know, how democratically it's supposed to work. So in reality, you speaking at Congress should make absolutely no difference, because nobody should be swayed by what you would say at Congress, because they should be voting the way they're mandated to vote.
Partly true, but there are delegates who have voting rights and speaking rights, and there are those who don't have speaking rights and voting rights. The Eurotron have speaking rights and voting rights, and I'm just exercising that. In fairness to the Eurotron, we don't speak too often, but on a few motions, if we feel strongly about it, then we will speak on it. But it's up to others to agree or disagree with us. We're not there to be swaying the members, and you're quite right. Each county board, I presume, because it would affect them, would have discussed these motions in advance and come with their view. So if 2/3 vote against the motion, you couldn't put it down to a Eurotron swinging them. I think it's because the counties looked at it and they said, while there's a good idea behind this motion, it isn't probably framed in the way we'd like it to be. And that's often what happens in Congress. A motion comes in 1 year, it's deemed ineligible or it's people don't vote for it, they see a good idea behind it, and the following year then it comes dressed up properly and people say, yeah, we can support that, and it usually flies through. And I can guarantee you, if the motion comes through next year in the format that I've suggested, that the third game is either a neutral venue or a home and away, then that would solve it, and I think that might happen.
Okay. Just on the way the delegates are voting, do you think some delegates would go rogue and maybe decide themselves on that day? Because they did vote with 83% last year to have no transparency on the way they're voting. Like, it's hard to say it's democracy when there's no transparency whatsoever, and then there's these speeches being made at Congress for really what really just shouldn't really have any meaning.
Yeah, but I remember that was a big argument when we were trying to open Clare Colin, and they decided it was secret ballot. And I remember, like you, I said it's gone. There is no hope now that the delegates are going to honour the commitment given at county board level. But in actual fact, I wasn't right. It was the opposite of the case. Every single one of them honoured the commitment, and we got Croke Park opened. So I think we have to have integrity in the members. I think most people involved in the GAA are there for the good of the GAA, and if they're mandated to vote one way, they will honour that. I think 99% certain, and definitely the opening of Croke Park is an example of that.
Yeah, it was a bad day for the CPA. I think 50 delegates got up and walked out of their presentation. The GAA president John Horan said they need to come back with some more detailed fixture list when they've already, according to the CPA, they've given them three this year alone, given to Tom Ryan. The GPA wanted a representation on the CCCC. They didn't get that with a landslide. The CCCC now has power to overrule home advantage in the Super 8 based on the grounds of safety. That went through with 90%. It was a real show of power from the GAA administrators.
Yeah, but in fairness, like, all these people are representing counties, and at county level they're representing clubs, so you would expect that they would have the matters fairly well discussed at county board level and at central level before they come to Congress. So if there's an argument put in Congress, and maybe if delegates are mandated, they can make up their own minds. But if they are mandated, you'd be expecting them to follow it. But I'm sure they don't mandate for every motion, so they probably listen to the arguments, and often it depends on who's putting the argument and how they put it. Sometimes people put the arguments very poorly. There were a few motions put last Saturday, and they were very poorly put because they wouldn't explain exactly what was involved, and they lost when they might have won. So that's an important factor as well. So I think you're right that everybody has to have their views heard, but you have to, at Congress, it's open, and you have to put your point across very strongly if you're trying to change something, especially something, bringing something new, because the GAA is a bit cautious always, which is not a bad thing. So to convince them that what you're proposing is going to improve the situation can often be challenging, and it's difficult for some people, and that's why I say sometimes it takes a couple of years before it will actually get through.
Okay, so how would wording then would have been accepted by you or by Congress? So, like, I mean, for say if the wording was the motion is for Dublin to not be allowed to play two Super 8 games in Croke Park, which is now de facto their home ground, obviously because they play all their league games there, would that be something you would have supported?
I think what I would like to have seen is that Dublin, if you want to be specific on Dublin, say their one game in Croke Park, call it their home game, the same as every other county. One game away, the same as every other county. And the third game in a neutral venue or a Tosca venue.
Okay, so you're giving Croke Park as their home, and then they're neutral. Instead of being Croke Park, you'd give their neutral in Turles maybe, or somewhere big like that.
Yes, absolutely, and that'd be fine.
Yeah.
I have no issue with that. And actually, I think in fairness to Donegal, that's probably what they intended. And I'd say also in fairness to them, they didn't want to be specifically mentioning Dublin because of the way it might be misconstrued. But in the process, what they wanted to do became a slightly confusing, and therefore it lost public support.
Yeah, so disappointing that for me, and I will leave it at this, Sean, I won't take up any more of your time, but, like, I mean, it's a bit of a PR disaster in that the GAA can be accused of prioritising money over other things, and like, I mean, that's the perception of this. And for this not to get through, just on maybe the wording of the motion, which to me wouldn't be a massively important issue. The bigger issue here is the integrity of the All-Ireland series and the PR, so that the GAA can't get the take the kicking that it's taken now again.
Yes, but that charge is always levelled at the GAA. But again, in fairness, the financial controller showed the income and the expenditure. And the vast majority, I think 85%, goes back into the association.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt about that. It's, but they're gone obsessed with earning money.
Well, I'm not sure on that, really. I mean, Croke Park itself now is earning a pile of money. That's commercial revenue. That's fantastic, because you're getting that from the business associations and everybody else in Ireland and abroad who come there. So I wouldn't say they're going to be obsessed. I think it's pretty open. But you can, of course, obviously, when a motion like that is defeated, they're going to say it's because of money. It isn't really. It's a question of looking at it and getting it right and putting it to Congress. And I think, hopefully, this time next year, Colin, we'll be having a conversation. And what I'm proposing to you will have passed, and then everybody will be happy. And they'll see that it's fair, and you won't be forcing an awful lot of fans who would always follow a team having to stay at home because of one particular game.
Yeah, okay. Before you go, you're quietly confident about this new Kerry team down there. Not much, 4 wins in a row and still no hullabaloo about Kerry. You're keeping it very quiet down there.
Yeah, and actually that's one of the points I mentioned in kind of in jest in Congress. I said we're looking forward, hopefully, to stopping the drive for 5 against the Dubs in Croke Park. That'll be the target, but it's going to be very hard. But they have got off to a great start under new manager Peter Keane. He's a kind of a low-key guy himself. I know him well.
Yeah.
He'll do a good job. We've always had good managers in Kerry, and I think he will follow in the footsteps. I mean, if you have a county that wins 5 minors in a row, you'd have to say you're the nucleus of a good team, and hopefully now things will go well, and we'll see how it progresses. But also equally important is that we play good, attractive football. I think we've done that, and especially the game against Dublin and Tralee. I met several people who said it was a fine game of football that they'd seen for a long time. So if we can play good football and beat the Dubs this year, we'd be very, very happy.
Yeah, you might beat them in the final. We'd be doing well to get that moved out of Croke Park, Sean. We might need a very well-worded motion for that one.
Oh no, we'll insist that's in Croke Park if we're there.
Sean, thanks very much for taking the call.
Thank you, Colin. Keep up the good work.
A real gentleman, Sean Kelly Conan, but that's very frustrating, isn't it? That kind of wants what everybody else wants, but this didn't work on a technicality. And like, this is the politics of GAA that would just frustrate you. I don't know why advice wasn't given to Donegal, maybe, on could those motions be potentially changed before, just to get it actually worded in a way that everyone could agree with. Like, in a way, I can see the Mead point of view. Like, what, it shouldn't preclude everyone from potentially. Is this just for Super 8s? Like, I mean, it's definitely disappointing.
No, like, it's very frustrating. Like, no, especially we have to wait another year and we have to throw the Super 8s again and people will complain again in the summer, and rightly so. But
that'll be gone next year anyway, won't it, the Super 8s?
Well, there's another year of it. So this is the second year, and then next year is the third year. Yeah, so we can get a change for the third
year. For the last one, yeah.
But he's right, like, that is the solution. When I saw Donegal's motion, and when I saw that it got defeated, I started reading into it a bit more, and you're like, right, this would have been a lot better to change the Croke Park venue to neutral venue, and in that way, like, you wouldn't be having, you know, Tyrone Roscommon in Croke Park. You could have that in Clonus, or, you know, somewhere actually in between and a bit more sort of realistic for the fixture.
Right.
And like, if you did that, then Dublin can be playing in Clonus, or Thurles, as you said, or Parky Cueve, like, you know, wherever, and like, everybody will have one game neutral, one game at home, and one game away, and everybody's happy to accept that Dublin are playing home games at Croke Park. They're all happy with that. He's right, and it's just really annoying that, like, you know,
I was actually expecting, getting Sean on the phone, that we would argue a bit more, but like, I mean, he actually is accepting everything that we're saying.
Yeah.
It's just that didn't, the wording of it, that's the annoying thing. And to be honest with you, if it was me, I would have passed up the wording on it because of the PR disaster that it is now. And like, I mean, this hasn't gone down well. But obviously, this is I don't go to Congress all the time, and I don't know how they've experienced a Congress saying that's worded wrong. this could preclude another county from any county from doing it if their ground is being upgraded. It might never happen, but you shouldn't not have the option.
Yeah,
and come back next year, and that's how these things work.
Yeah, which is what they have to do in a sense, because they don't want to be hamstrung by their own rule book. Then, yeah. But like you're right, like Donegal should have been given advice on the process the whole way through, and yeah. maybe another county should have put forward a motion as well. Maybe they should have spoke up for Donegal, maybe suggested this instead. I don't think you obviously can't bring a new motion at Congress, but
on the floor.
Yeah.
Let me just
let's get a show of hands here right now. It's really annoying because everybody sees a solution. Even Dublin know the solution as well, but we have to wait again another year.
Yeah. Okay, all right, we'll come back in part three. We'll just have a quick look at any other interesting motions.
He goes, if you boys are doing God's work, you can do whatever you want in the field. And I kind of, for me, that was a free pass.
A smile, so
when you say Mickey takes it to another level, what will he be doing this week?
An extra decade of the rosary.
I know you're my every tomorrow, and I know that you'll always...
You know, Tyrone are queer hawks in the final, and a hawk is a queer bird.
Okay, so an interesting thing about Congress and what I was asking Sean Kelly about Conan is all these voters. He kind of alluded to it there, that there are a lot of voters there that can be swayed by the speeches.
Yeah, because when I saw there was a 64% no vote, I was wondering how is this happening? Our county's not mandated to go and, you know, get justice or whatever. And then when you actually look at the numbers, you have... Like, for people who can vote at Congress, you have the 32 counties who are obviously mandated. But then when you add in everything else, the county's, like, voice gets completely diluted. You have a president's vote, you have a director general, 4 provincial chairmen, you have 2 reps of Congress. Then all the overseas units, like London, North America, Europe, goes into higher education vote, post-primary vote, primary vote, GPA vote. And you have past presidents, which is, like, 8 to 10. 8, 9, 10, I don't know how many there are there. But you'd have almost 60, like, different, like, sort of... units there to vote. And then every county, not only is there only 32 of them now in the 60, but they all have different voting strengths, like, you know, so it depends on how many clubs they have.
Yeah.
You know, and they lost their, like, delegates recently, or they lost a lot of them recently back in 2014. They got less of them anyway. So actually, like, you know, a no vote of 64% could be the counties voting a majority yes, and it wouldn't be reflected. Like, it's only adding up to 36% yes overall, like, you know, because it's not just the county's voices. There's so many other elements that come into it.
I'll never go to Congress. I'll never, for as long as I live, will ever. So, like, I mean, there's no doubt. I just hate it. But of the 256 delegates that were there, 50 left the room, like I was saying, for the CPA, for the CPA presentation, and there was no questions from the floor. And John Horan said, the emergence of the CPA is in response to difficulties and frustrations that have existed around club fixtures. I do not question their intentions. Again, just buttering them up here. But this is the important part. But I would put it to them that we need to see them submit a more detailed sample of how they would propose to fill the blank canvas on fixtures, which to talk about to further their enhanced debate on the challenge around fixtures. We want solutions. We want solutions, right? So this was tweeted out by John Fogarty, and the CPA retweeted with a quote, and it said, CPA are baffled at the duplicity of the Uachtaráin in that statement. It's in bad faith given the work that's going on behind the scenes. We sent 3 detailed fixture proposals recently to Tom Ryan on the 24th of January, that's this year. Does the left hand know what the right hand is doing? So there's a couple of options here. So John Horan doesn't know that they were... Okay, we'll start to start. Tom Ryan doesn't tell John Horan that he got them.
Yeah.
We have a situation, Tom Ryan tells John Horan, John Horan knows that they're, and he's misleading Congress by telling them that they haven't sent them anything detailed enough. Do you know what I mean? What option is there? Like, I mean, what's happened here? It doesn't, there's no actual answer to that question that makes these fellas come across very well. Because, like, I mean, to say I do not question their intentions, like, you know, because at the end of the day, if you say I disagree with the CPA, then you're disagreeing with the club person, and it's the lifeblood, and this is the whole kind of stuff to come out with. So you have to say you agree with them. But how do you pawn them off? You tell delegates they haven't given us anything. Yeah. They're not serious. They're not, you know what I mean? They're not a serious organisation. They're not coming up with solutions. When the CPA are coming up with solutions, they have master fixture plans. They've sent them. They've met with the GEA. That's just bizarre stuff.
And they've been in the running, what, 3 years now almost? Like, it's, that makes them sound like just somebody complaining on Twitter. Who are you know, just whinging about something and not coming up with any plan.
Well, exactly.
Plan.
It's as bad a criticism as anything. And, like, I mean, the people the CPA have involved here, like, I mean, we've got some serious, like, Liam Griffin is over the fixtures with somebody else, that these lads know what they're doing. A lot of thought, voluntary work has gone into this to find solutions. They're being pawned off when they meet the GEA. And then John Horan is going to say this to Congress and make complete little of them. Delegates walk out during the presentation. The CPA might as well forget about it. If I'm being honest about the CPA, everything they've done has been laughed at by the GEA and by Congress delegates. Everything. So they're at a crossroads as well. What are they all about? Because they've made not one posy bit of difference. They're trying to do it the right way, like the GEA have advised them, and then they just walk into a trap. Do you know what I mean? At Congress, where they're laughed at.
Yeah.
The GPA are a waste of time on serious issues as well. So, like, I mean, what voice do players have around the country?
I don't know. They do. Like,
they've completely taken the power back here, Conan. It's incredible show of power from administrators. It's a huge victory that those whippersnappers will not sit on the CCC. They will not tell us how to run our fixtures. We're doing this a long time. What do players should concentrate on playing? That's exactly the attitude.
What is the problem with the CPA? Like, They're trying to help. Like, it's not this organisation that's trying to just disband the GAA. They're actually trying to make the GAA better. And even if the GAA thought they were a threat to the way that they were running things, why don't they, when they are sitting down together like they have done, you explain to them their side of things? Like, we can't go that drastic because we'll lose a pile of money here and there. Like, so let's work together, and we'll, like, we want the club players to be happier. Did they not want the club players to be happier? So let's sit down and actually work out a way of doing it. Like, we'll meet you halfway.
Yeah.
We're not going to give up all the things that you want us to give up, and here's why. And, like, here's a better solution now with the two of us. Like,
yeah.
And, like, the county game will be strong and the club game will be stronger. Like, the CPA aren't trying to take over the GAA. They're just listening to what everybody's saying and then trying to help.
Yeah, and they've been really serious about that. Like, I mean, they're not trying to take over. They're not trying to be big shots. They're going to the GAA with cap in hand, being very respectful. They're going through the right channels. And it's just cynical, the height of cynicism by John Horan to turn around and say they haven't... just reinforcing the delegates' idea that, well, the GEA is the Club Players Association. Do you know what I mean? That's all that's doing, that these lads have not given us anything serious. So again, this is all very interesting. Where do the CPA and where do the GPA go from here? Because, again, at a risk of repeating myself, all I see is them both being laughed at. The only other interesting motion was Congress voted by 91-9. Majority to lift the ban on allowing county grounds to be used for non-GAA sports, with Central Council now empowered to decide on applicants on a case-by-case basis. That's a no-brainer. Central Council, again, still have power, but they're not hamstrung by their own rules in case a huge kind of public outcry for something like the Lee Miller testimonial comes up again.
And there was no outcry about that, no controversy, just a straightforward rule that made sense, and they passed it. And do you know what I mean? Like, they're always talking about the word PR disasters.
Yeah, but the GEA want this. You'd be very surprised. Don't be surprised. The politics. What's the famous statement about the GEA? Ah, it's all politics. Don't think for a second that the GEA don't have a huge influence, the top brass, on ones they want to get through and ones you just look at the ones you've talked about straight away. Well, you did get that floodlit pitch there last year. We could do with a help on this one now because we need this to get through. Are you telling me a phone call like that wouldn't happen? Of course it would. It's happening. All, that's politics. That's why when they say, sure, it's all politics, that's what they mean. It's all politics. Like, it's easy swing these delegates. And the reason it's easy to swing them is because they're going cap in hand looking for facilities. And in the GAA's defence, like Sean Kelly said, they plough 80% back into the association. A lot of county boards can't run their house in the correct order, so they're so dependent on the GAA. So are you going to vote against your boss who pays your wages? I'd vote the same way as Niall McGarry, whatever way he's voting. Well, let's call a spade a spade. I'm not going to lose my job because I'm voting voting for something. Do you get me? I'm not going to be a rebel and lose my job. Like, it doesn't make sense, or make my normal working week an awful lot more difficult. Sure, that's just the reality of it. Like, it's not democracy when the people voting are 100% dependent, massively dependent, not 100%, massively dependent on the GEA. So there's absolutely... Sure, the Super 8s got through because Pádraig Duffy did a campaign job and went around to the weaker counties and said the extra revenue from this Super 8s will go directly to you.
Yeah.
Bang. Ding, ding, ding. Well, there's our fundraising. You don't have to cancel the fundraising where we're Pádraig Duffy. We don't have to stand outside mass with a bucket now. Pádraig Duffy's going to sort us out.
Yeah. You know?
So, like, I mean, it's just very disappointing. I've nothing more to say about it anyway. I'm talked out today. Yes. That's it.
Only, like,
very upset, very disappointing.
I feel sorry. There's all obviously good GA, we just talked about the good GA people in the GA, and like, it must be frustrating for them as well. Like, you know, it must be. Like, yeah, they'll probably be silent about it, but Jesus.
Yeah, it's a sad day for the players' unions. Right, we'll leave it there. We'll be back on Thursday as usual with the hurling and football shows, preview shows. Right, good luck.
Yet it took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other, and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
But these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing asses for f***ing 10 years.
The GA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power. For exclusive content from their GAA ambassadors and other high-profile contributors, check out news.paddypower.com.